Welcome into the Unnamed MMA Podcast. I'm Adam Abdallah. Along with me, as always, Jordan Sherwood. Follow him on Twitter at WoodOnESPN1000. Follow me on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah. You can get all of Jordan's picks, FatJackSports.com. Sign up today. Get all of Jordan's picks. You get the Super Bowl in a week. You got college basketball, all that good stuff, the NBA. So make sure you sign up, FatJackSports.com. Jordan, we are back for a UFC fight night that is going to be a card during the day. It's is over in Saudi Arabia, and this card will take place. It's an early face-off. I don't know what you, it's not a tip-off. I don't know. What do you call it?
First bell.
First bell, I guess. The first bell is early. So this gets started around what, like 9 a.m. tomorrow with the main,
yeah, 9 a.m.
the main Eastern card starting at like 11 a.m.?
Right, right. So that's when it's starting, yeah, at 8 a.m. Central Time for the prelims. So whatever, noon for the main card. We talked about this last week on the podcast. You know, there's a lot of money that's floating around over there in right of Saudi Arabia. So they're going to make sure the locals are happy.
Yes.
And people like you and me, okay, we got to roll out of bed, have some coffee, and have a little MMA. I mean, it's not as bad, I guess, for me and you, because we're in the central time zone.
Yeah,
I've got a lot of buddies and, you know, handicappers that I talk to that are in Vegas. So that's a 6 a.m. start for them.
Oof.
So that's not as great. Probably don't love that. But, you know, luckily, this is a fight card. And we've seen this now a couple of times when they're in Saudi Arabia. They hype up the fight card compared to, you know, let's just call it a pay-per-view. And I think if you actually put these two side by side, there's definitely argument that could be made that this is a better fight card than what we'll have next week for the pay-per-view headlined by Dricus du Plessis and Sean Strickland for the second time.
No, absolutely. This is a good card. I feel like, again, that goes back to the money part of it. Like, this is, if this is going to be a UFC fight night or fight day, whatever you want to call it, and you're going over to Saudi Arabia and they're paying a bunch of money, like, they probably want good fights too, you know what I mean? So I can see that in there. Also, if you're, listen, welcome to being an EPL fan. If you're an English Premier League fan, like, this is what we do every week. You wake up early and you watch soccer, except now you're waking up early, you're watching soccer, and you're going to watch a little UFC, and then that'll roll right into college basketball tomorrow, right?
Yeah, yeah. So you get your double screen. I get that.
Yeah.
For the people. So it's not as bad. It's what we're used to, I guess, here in 2025.
Absolutely. So before we start previewing this UFC fight night, there is some news in the UFC that Bryce Mitchell, a UFC fighter, was on a podcast and made some horrible comments about the Jewish community, about the LGBTQ plus community. He was on a podcast. He said that he believed that, you know, doing his the famous thing from the pandemic, doing his own research in quotes. He believes that Hitler was a good guy. He thinks that it's someone that he would want to go fishing with and that kind of stuff. And then yesterday, Dana White came out and completely trashed it, which is great. You know, he came out and said all of the right things about it, how it's dumb, how he's a fucking idiot, and it's not to be tolerated, and they will deal with it, and called it beyond disgusting and everything like that. Jordan, you are a member of the Jewish community, and so I know this is something you wanted to address, so I'm just going to give you the floor here.
Yeah, I'm dumbfounded, baffled, disgusted, angry that, you know, look, I understand we live in an age of free speech and we live in an age in social media and platforms and, you know, everybody is creating content. And, you know, unfortunately, this idiot decided that his content, because it's his podcast, so he's the one that's, you know, creating it and deciding what topics that he wants to embark on, that the Holocaust didn't happen and that 6 million people didn't die and Adolf Hitler was a good dude and I want to go fishing with him. Like, it's mind boggling that this is kind of allowed still and that this is rhetoric that people look for and want to you know, listen to and read up on. And I appreciate Dana White doing what he did, making sure that that was the first thing that he said. I mean, that was a he's definitely been in front of controversial topics before. Not all of them come to mind, but certainly whether he had to address it, he said it, or another, you know, fighter did. But like, you know, there are examples, I think, in the past of the UFC, in the past of, in mixed martial arts. And again, it's like the UFC, MMA, it's not a league like the NFL. You know, these are, you know, contractors, so to speak. They're individual contractors. He has disciplined fighters before. He has fired fighters before. I think there was a case of a fighter that talked about a rape van at some point, and he was let go from the organization. And there are guys that have done things that never fought for the UFC ever again. Like a guy like Paul Daly, like threw a punch after the bell was sounded, and he never fought in the UFC ever again. The fact that like Dana is saying that, like, well, you know, we're going to keep him, and you know, hey, people are going to tune in to see get his ass kicked. Sure, but well, I think a better statement of doubt would have been to, like, you know what, forget whatever lawsuit he might throw up against us for not honoring our contract. This guy does not deserve to get any spotlight anymore. He's no longer and will never fight for the UFC ever again. That's what should happen.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I completely agree with you, because, you know, you're right. Free speech. You are allowed to say whatever you want to, but there's also consequences. You work for someone. The UFC hands out contracts to people. You know, there's the Dana White Contender Series. There's guys that get promoted. There's guys that, you know, go back down and then get promoted again, all that kind of stuff. This is like everywhere is a workplace. You know what I mean? And if you or I were to tweet anything or say anything on the air or on this podcast that disparaged any community, and our employer, Good Karma Brands, chose to fire us, they are absolutely within their right to do that. And the fact that, you know, you're right, Dana White said all the right stuff, but he is the president, and he could make the decision to say, guess what? You're out. Sorry. Like, this is not going to be allowed. And we've seen, you know, like, listen, I understand the era that we live in, and there are other fighters that have used their platform to promote, you know, whether it's presidential candidates or other things like that. Like, fine. But this is an extreme
that should be dealt
with.
Of it.
Yeah, this should be dealt with. This is different than, and listen, I don't care what side of the aisle on. If you want to wear a Make America Great Again hat in the ring, or if you want to wear a, you know, a Kamala Harris hat, whatever. I don't care. Do whatever you want to. I'm not picking sides for the fighters. They can do whatever they want to, okay? But when it's this extreme, like, something needs to be done.
Yeah, and especially, too, because, like, his whole platform, if he's trying to draw up interest for his podcast and him as a personality, like, his platform is the UFC. I mean, Dana White said it himself. Like, people are going to tune in the next time he fights. They are.
Yeah.
Because they do not like him, and they want to see him get his ass kicked.
Yeah.
Well, that's just feeding into the machine of what should not be allowed to be the machine.
Yeah.
And a guy like Dana White should take a stand and say, you know what, look, I get it, but not under my watch.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the other side is there are people that will tune in to root for him, and he knows this, and that will tune into the podcast because of what he said, and that's a bigger problem as well. And that's why I think an example should be made. Like, no one's going to get to watch him. Sorry. He can go fight wherever. If another, you know, mixed martial arts company wants to pick him up, it's their problem, because he's not we're going to deal with him. We are not going to pay him. He's not going to sign contracts. He's not going to earn bonuses from us. Because at the end of the day, sure, people might tune in to watch him get his ass kicked, but he's still earning money from the UFC. He's still getting paid. Dana White still signs his checks, or whoever's signing those checks, and it still says UFC, right?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Make an example. Don't let him fight again. Kick him out. And yeah, I get it. You can be free speech, and Dana White can go to all the inaugurations that he wants to. But at the end of the day, like, you gotta, this is way too extreme to be saying and should be dealt with accordingly.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have anything else to say.
Yeah.
I had my soapbox for a few minutes. Very disgusted.
Yeah.
And let's move on.
All right. So let's get into this UFC fight night in Saudi Arabia. Like we said, it does start early here, 8:10 a.m. Central for our first fight. And we don't normally do this. We don't normally start with the very first fight on the prelim card. But I'm Egyptian. And so we're going to promote the only Egyptian fighter on the roster, on the UFC roster, until another one comes along. Hamdi Abdelwahab and fights Jamal Pogues. And we talked about this on our last podcast when we spoke last time. Hamdi was a slight underdog. You could have gotten him at plus money. Not really an underdog. They were both kind of even, but you could have gotten him at plus money. And now Hamdi is minus 120 on the money line. Jamal Pogues plus 104. If you remember, Hamdi fought at UFC 277. He won. It was later overturned because of a banned substance. But since UFC isn't testing anymore, shouldn't it be flipped back? Like, can we flip it back to a win? Because isn't UFC not testing anymore? Like, isn't that a thing? Anyway, so
I'm just trying to remember back in 2022 and like the multitude of changes.
Yeah.
And also, like, you got to admit too, like, they're a little bit lenient in Saudi Arabia.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
We're coming to the testing. Although it's funny, like, cause like, you know, the Texas Athletic Commission doesn't also have the best reputation.
Yeah.
And that's where that fight took
place. Well, here's the thing. If Conor McGregor's ever allowed to fight, we know the testing's out of the window.
Right.
So, like, we just know, like, that's the giveaway. So your thought, I know you gave him out. You gave him, we're just kind of rehashing what we said on the last podcast, but you gave him out as a slight plus money, dog favorite with the time that he was. He was plus money regardless. It was like plus 105 in places. Now, money coming in on Hamdi minus 122. I'm already putting money on Hamdi. I said it last time. He's my prop of the night. Hamdi money line. That's where we're going.
Yeah, I mean, well, look, the blinders might be on for you, but the legitimacy in the pick is in his Greco-Roman background. You know, he didn't medal in the Olympics, but he certainly, you know, comes from that caliber of competition, the caliber of athlete. And albeit before getting to the UFC, he didn't face the best competition there was, but he was undefeated. He was able to get some takedowns against Dontel Mays, and stand-up wasn't great for Hamdi, but, you know, he certainly showcases his wrestling background and control it. And then I think Jamal Pogues, you know, offers that similar type of opponent, a guy that hasn't showcased great takedown defense. So if Hamdi has been working on his skill set, he has been in the gym. He's been preparing himself for 2 years, and then he actually got suspended an additional 6 months after the suspension. So who knows what's in this guy's system, but, you know, it might be a little bit lenient.
Listen, man, it's olive oil, hummus, and falafel. I'll tell you that. That's all it is.
Godspeed, but I think it's a favorable matchup for him. I think he's going to have to look to work the takedowns, get that top control. And I think, I'm fine with it at $1.20. I like it more at plus money. So maybe if some public money comes back in on Jamal Pogues or some sharp money comes in on Jamal Pogues, my recommendation is going to be Hamdi or pass. Because when he was back in the UFC, when he was fighting against Dontel Mays, Hamdi was a very big-time underdog. He, he closed, I think, at plus 195, for that fight. So a lot of people knew about him. Now they do. And I think nonetheless, it would be a smart decision to invest in him to see if he can make it two in a row in the UFC.
Yeah. So Hamdi by points plus 180, Pogues by points plus 195, Hamdi by knockout plus 490, Pogues by knockout plus 550. And they're both like 12-1 for submissions here.
I'm not looking for any type of submission here. And I think it's just fine to think about the fight, either fighter just winning straight up on the money line. Don't need to get cued into value for the props either way.
All right, our next fight here, Farah Ziyam, plus 118. This is the first fight on the main card. Farah Ziyam, plus 118 as the underdog here. Mike Davis, minus 140 as the favorite. Both these guys coming in, rather new to the UFC. Both these guys coming in on four-fight win streaks here. So how do you see this first fight on our main card, which should get going around 11:15 central time here in Chicago?
Yeah, Ziyam, look, kind of recency bias. He's a French kickboxer is training down in Florida with the Sanford MMA crew. You mentioned it, you know, 4-fight win streak. Obviously, his most impressive victory was the last one that he had when he knocked out with a very impressive knee against the always game Matt Frivola. We were on the wrong side of that fight. We thought Frivola was going to body him up a little bit, use his strength, his wrestling, and get Zaim out of there. But Zaim was ready for it. And, you know, case in point, he's going to get almost like a kind of a similar opponent and a similar fight in a guy in Mike Davis, you know, a guy that comes, you know, more so from a boxing background, but is, you know, one of the bigger featherweights, a guy that I also think can muscle up some of his opponents, and a guy also that, you know, look, is a finisher. He has 11 victories in his mixed martial arts career. 9 of them have come inside the distance, and the only time that, you know, he has a blemish on his, you know, mixed martial arts and UFC career, that is, against Gilbert Burns, a guy that, you know, obviously has been in the top 10 of the lightweight division forever. But this fight, you know, being at featherweight, I actually am surprised right now that we're still able to get Mike Davis at plus money. I don't think he's going to be threatened by the stand-up of Zaim. And actually, the line flipped as I'm talking about it. So Davis now a slight favorite in that fight. So I think the smart, sharp money on Davis. So I like Davis in the fight. I think that he's not going to be threatened by the kickboxing. He's going to be able to work in takedowns. He's going to have the boxing power advantage. So Mike Davis, straight up on the money line, is going to be my selection and pick for that fight.
All right, he's around minus 140, 135 on the money line. The Vegas believes that this fight is going to go to the judges. Davis by points is plus 185. Zaim by points is plus 200. Davis by submission, plus 490. Zaim by knockout is plus 600. And Davis by knockout, plus 800. And Zaim by submission, 20-1.
I would say, look, if you want to play the recency bias and you want to add a little bit more value on that underdog prop or that underdog play for Zaim, take him via decision. I think that Davis, if he does struggle, you know, in this fight, is a guy that's going to go to the judges' scorecards, that he's just going to be, like, outpointed by his opponent. So if you're on that side, that's where I would go.
All right, our next fight here is Vinicius Oliveira against Saeed Nurmagomedov. This should be a good fight here. You've got this odds have kind of come down on this fight. Nurmagomedov opened up at like minus 200. Now it's come down to about minus 165 on the money line. And Oliveira here, plus 140 on the money line, moving up from about plus 145. This should be a good one. If you look at Oliveira last year was his first year in the UFC. He had a flying knee finish, which is always cool to see in your first year in the UFC. And Nurmagomedov hasn't fought since October of 2023. And he did get a win in that one. It only took him about just over a minute where he made, I don't know what this is. It says a ninja choke. What's a ninja choke?
It's a variation of a guillotine. You know, impressive performance, certainly. It was a short notice fight, you know, for him. So with the last name of Nurmagomedov, what do you think this guy does well?
Yeah, he wrestles.
Wrong!
No?
Wrong! This guy is the redheaded stepchild, Nurmagomedov. He kickboxes.
I thought that Sharamagomedov was the redheaded stepchild. That is pun definitely intended.
Well, we'll get the Shara bullet a little bit later.
Because he is
on.
A redhead. So.
No, this guy is a kickboxer.
No.
This guy likes to, you know, showcase distance. This guy likes to work from the outside. Doesn't have a lot of the takedown and the grappling that you would assume that would come with a Nurmagomedov, you know, background. And obviously, you know, he comes from a Sambo background as well. So, yeah, he does have some grappling. It's not like he, you know, rolled out of bed and, like, hit his head and, like, never wrestled. Like, he does. But, like, what does he feel comfortable with? It is certainly that. And, look, we've seen it in some impressive fashions. You know, Douglas Silva, De Andrade, that's an impressive victory to be able to do that. But then a guy like Jonathan Martinez, who's known for his leg kicks and his stand-up game, hands the first UFC loss or second UFC loss for Nurmagomedov. Oliveira is getting a lot of shine and a lot of rub because he's looked very impressive, very flashy in his short-term UFC and mixed martial arts career. And again, this is a fight that's going to be contested on the feet. I don't think this is going to be a fight where we're going to have to question if Oliveira has the takedown defense, the takedown prowess, if you will, to keep this fight standing. So when this fight is standing and Oliveira has shown the leg kicks that Jonathan Martinez has in his arsenal and was able to get the win, give me Oliveira on the money line as the underdog.
Ooh,
like I'll take it. Yeah,
okay.
I think, you know, again, Nurmagomedov's going to have the benefit of Khabib. He's going to have the benefit of, you know, obviously training partners, preparing a week ago for their fight. And Shara Bowett, you know, has some ties there as well. But I like Oliveira on the money line straight up. I think he's shown me enough that he could be a legitimate contender in this division. And so I like him to win the fight, especially at dog odds.
All right. So, yeah, plus 140 there on the money line. We'll take that. But just for sake of repetition here, the method of victory, Nurmagomedov by points, plus 210. Nurmagomedov by submission, plus 330. Oliveira by knockout, plus 340. And Oliveira by points, plus 430. And Nurmagomedov by knockout, plus 700.
Yeah, again, this is another one of those fights, just like Zaim and Davis, the fight before, where I don't really see a value in the finishing rate, just because Nurmagomedov's not a guy that gets finished. And, you know, albeit Oliveira is a finisher and flashy, just having him on the money line doesn't necessitate that I need. I might look a little bit at that under, so maybe playing caution to the win there. And it's about a pick 'em there. I think I'm looking at it right now, minus $1.02, plus 106 on another book. So maybe seeing a finish there, that Oliveira is not as high quality as we think he is, and then Nurmagomedov gets him out of there. So maybe you're hedging a little bit with that under at 2.5.
All right, our next fight, the big boys, the heavyweights right here. Top 10 heavyweights. We've got Sergey Pavlovich, minus 295, the favorite, and Biggie Boy, Jairzinho Rozenstruik, plus 240. This should be a good fight. Pavlovich obviously fell to Tom Aspinall. Their short-notice fight, UFC 295 in New York City. This is a good fight for Pavlovich to come back from this one, because he's a big favorite here at minus 295. And then Biggie Boy here, he's got 4 wins in 11 months, so this should be a good one.
Yeah, I mean, but the worrisome thing about Pavlovich is that, you know, his most recent performance in Saudi Arabia last year, Alexander Volkov beats him, you know, in a heavyweight fight and just, you know, completely shuts him down. So, like, Sergey Pavlovich, like, I think this is kind of like, you know, the spotlight's on him. And this is a big, big fight for him to see, like, is he legitimately, you know, redone himself, reinvented himself and is a new fighter? Or is he a guy that, like, look, storms out of the gates at you, knows that he's going to knock you out. And if he doesn't knock you out, then he's in for a long night. I mean, because, look, he was definitely a deer in headlights when he made his UFC debut against Alistair Overeem back in 2018. But since then, he's knocked out everybody and takes a very little time to do that. And then that's why he earned that opportunity against Tom Aspinall. And then Aspinall, we know how good that guy is. So I just don't know if Sergey Pavlovich has improved. Has he looked himself in the mirror and said, hey, remember, like, I could wrestle. I don't have to just be a guy that's coming in with hammer fists and trying to knock you out in the first 30 seconds. Because if he's going to do that, I think he might be doing that against the wrong guy. I mean, Jairzinho Rozenstruik, that is what he does, is that he is a stand-up fighter, and he knocks people out as well. He does not have any wrestling whatsoever. If I'm Pavlovich, I'm looking to take this fight to the ground, because I know Rozenstruik, if he gets taken to the ground, cannot get back up. And we've seen that happen time after time in his losses. But if he's in a stand-up fight, like, Jairzinho Rozenstruik is dangerous from start to finish, and I always talk about this, but you have to. Like, Jairzinho Rozenstruik was losing a fight to Alistair Overeem for 24 minutes and 50 seconds, but he won the last 10, and he knocked him out. Like, he is dangerous from start to finish. So, no play for me, because I can't trust Sergey Pavlovich, thinking he's going to, like, storm out of the gates, and Biggie Boy's going to be like, what the fuck, dude? I'm going to just knock you out as well. So, but I'm hearing, Adam, that there's possibly some there's a little bit of a tentativeness in the Pavlovich camp that obviously you can't lose 3 fights in a row. So, and Jairzinho Rozenstruik is a patient counter striker.
Yeah.
So maybe because Pavlovich might revert to some wrestling, and maybe he won't be just going crazy, taking a look at the over at 1.5.
Okay.
Which is plus 170, plus 162.
Wow.
I mean, that is against the grain. That is, you know, certainly not going to be widely accepted against these heavyweights, two knockout artists and two guys that knock people out in the first round.
Yeah.
But there's just something in me a little bit that, like, the combination of what we saw last with Pavlovich, going three rounds with Alexander Volkov,
all right,
knowing who Rozenstruik is, knowing his background, Pavlovich has wrestling, I might take a shot at that at plus money, at plus 170.
All right, here. I don't know if I've seen this close of odds before, but Pavlovich, like I mentioned, minus 295 to win the fight. Pavlovich by knockout, minus 210. So you're not really knocking off a lot of that juice by going with the method of victory here for knockout. Then you get to Rozenstruik by knockout, plus 400. Rozenstruik by points, plus 900. Pavlovich by points, 11-1, and then the submissions are stupid. You said wrestling, I thought you were going to say sprinkle on 27-1, Pavlovich by submission.
No, I think if Pavlovich is going to win the fight via wrestling, it's going to be via TKO. Like, he'll land something from top position, and Jairzinho will turn over, turtle up, and then Pavlovich will just punch until the referee gets on top of him. No submission props for me.
Sorry. Okay. All right. Our next fight here should be a very good fight, as both of these guys like to put up some fireworks here. You've got Sharamagomedov is minus 165 and Michael Page here. Oh, hold on. Wrong
Breaking
fight.
News?
No. Wrong. I just clicked on the wrong fight. Magomedov here minus 198. So close to minus 200 here. Just giving the guys the wrong odds. I clicked on the wrong page. Minus 200 here for Magomedov and Michael Venom Page at plus 165. Last time Magomedov fight, he knocked out Armin Petrosian with a double spinning back fist. That's two spinning back fists. And it was one of the coolest knockouts I've seen recently. So go and watch that if you haven't seen it. And then last time we saw Michael Page, he lost to Ian Machado Gary at UFC 303. So what do you think of this one here with Page coming off a loss and Magomedov, who doesn't get to really fight outside of the Middle East because of visa issues. Like, he can't get a license here because is he blind in one eye or something like that? So
I mean, as long as they put on Saudi Arabia cards or
Dubai, like he can fight in Dubai.
Yeah,
let's go. Like, hey, listen, if Hamdi wins, let's go to Egypt, man. Come on. Yeah. You and I will go to Egypt. It'll be great. Show you around.
You take care of me, right?
Listen, I know all the spots. We can hang out with my cousins. We'll stay with the relatives. It'll be great. Danny can save some money on the trip because we don't need a hotel. It'll be awesome.
Fine. We'll find a sponsor for it.
Yeah.
All right. Look, fine. You know, look, Sharamagomedov, a lot of hype around him. You know, he's slow build for him. That slow build for him for sure in this middleweight division. He's undefeated. But take a look at, you know, yes, go watch that Armin Petrosian knockout, one of a kind for sure, very unique. But then go look at it when it took place in the fight. This is a guy that, although he has 12 wins of his 15 via knockout, since he's been in the UFC as a point fighter, is a guy that's dragging fights out longer into the third round, going to the judges' scorecards. And I think actually that Petrosian fight, even though it ended in the second, was well on its way to going into and seeing the judges' scorecards for a third round. So that's how, you know, Shara it looks. Against Michael Venom Page, he's given 6 inches of reach. He's also fighting a guy that is primarily a striker, a guy that made his career in Bellator and knocking people out over there, and then, you know, came over a little bit later in his combat mixed martial arts career to the UFC, went 1-1 in welterweight, and now is moving up to middleweight. That's the first thing that I'm worried about is, like, Michael Venom Page, he does have some knockouts, but more of a point fighter. He's not going to be able to do as much damage on Sharamagomedov, you know, in this fight. Is he going to be able to handle the physicality that a 185er will bring compared to, a 170-pound fighter? But however, like, he's getting a fight, like, that is going to be conducive to his skill set and his fighting style. And actually, Michael Venom Page does have some grappling and some takedowns, you know, in his arsenal. We actually saw that in his last fight against JD3. Like, he took him down. and control him, and maybe even won a round, you know, according to most people that are judging the fight. So where Shara is as the big time favorite, you can't play it right now. Even at $1.98, I see it at FanDuel. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at it right now. Like that's still a little bit too high for me. I think I need that number to come down. So,
well, it's only gone up because it opened around 185, 190. So it's only gone up.
Yeah. And I said JDM, by the way, it was Ian Machado Gary handed Michael Vandepage his first loss in the UFC. But like, I might take a stab at Page. I definitely will look at the over at 2.5.
Okay.
Which now I'm looking at it. Like I say that and I look at it like
it's minus 230. Yeah.
Forget that. No, yeah. I'm not on that. So I actually might take a stab at Page.
Wow.
And Page via decision +300.
+300.
You know, all right. Maybe he works in a takedown, wins a round, you know, going to have a point fight because I don't know if Magomed is getting up if he gets taken down. So maybe Page only has to land like one takedown. He can do it. He certainly can do it. I just worry about the difference in weight. That's the only thing that maybe I have red flags about backing a Michael Vandepage is because this fight's not at welterweight where he's fought all of his career. It's at middleweight. So that's my only concern, you know. Probably for my own fan purposes, I hope Magomedov wins because, you know, that's building up him. 185 is becoming a very interesting division with obviously the fallout of next week and, well, the main event too, but the fallout of next week. And then what is Khamzat Chimaev gonna do? Who is he next in line for? So another contender that's undefeated, I certainly do like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So so sprinkle on Page by points at +300. Magomedov by points is +135. Magomedov by knockout is +310. And Page by knockout is +650.
Yeah, he definitely doesn't have the power to knock out Magomedov.
Yeah.
I just think that, and, you know, Magomedov, maybe he lands something on Michael Vandepage. He can't handle the 185-pound power, but again, this is a fight that I think is going likely to the judges' scorecard. So if you're backing either fighter, I would say just get that value down a little bit more and have either fighter to win via decision.
All right, our final fight. It has been 6 years, Jordan, since Israel Adesanya was not in a title fight. This will be his first non-title appearance since his rookie campaign in the UFC. Just a touch under 6 years in his non-title bout, which came at UFC 234, where he beat Anderson Silva. Israel Adesanya is -155, the favorite, down earlier in the week. It was around 170. And he is facing Nassourdine Imavov. Imavov here at +130 on the money line. This should be a very good fight, but it is interesting to see what Israel Adesanya is going to look like when a belt is not on the line.
Yeah, I mean, and this is really, you know, for all mixed martial artists, for all UFC fighters, like once a dominating champion is no longer champion and they're not fighting in a rematch, what do they look like? What's the motivation? What's the reasoning for still doing it? And are you still at the level that you once were? Because, yeah, it is silly to think about the last time that Israel Adesanya was not in
it. 6 years!
In a title fight that it was against one Anderson, the Spider Silva. I don't think Israel Adesanya has dropped off by any means. Like, he looked very good in you know, his last fight against Dricus du Plessis for the title. Arguably was winning the fight in some instances. Had Dricus du Plessis hurt at some point in the fight, but then, you know, he did get taken down and got submitted and got submitted, you know, out of there. And then prior to that, you know, there was the argument that he took Sean Strickland lightly, losing the middleweight championship. Wasn't expecting Strickland to outwork him like he did. But look, the time before that, who did he knock out? That was one Alex Pereira. So that was April of 2023. So not, you know, more than 2 years ago that he beat arguably one of the best fighters that we pound for pound that we have currently on the roster. So what is the motivation? Stylistically, good matchup for Israel Adesanya. This will be we have a lot of kickboxing matches on this fight card. it's another kickboxing match. That, you know, listen, Nassourdine Imavov like has looked good. Like, you know, he deserves to be in this kind of like high profile fight, but like, you know, how good like has he looked? You know, look, Brendan Allen, his most recent victory okay, like maybe Brendan Allen, like a little bit not as much, you know, highly regarded as maybe we think. Controversial stoppage against Jared Cannonier, Roman Dolidze, the majority decision win, you know, and then he lost to Sean Strickland in a fight that, you know, he, well, actually it was a short notice fight and fought at light heavyweight. So, like, he doesn't work in a lot of takedowns, which would I would worry about Izzy. So the question really is like, do you believe at dollar 50, Israel no longer cares and is not at the same level? Because this is a dramatic step up in competition for Imabov. Like, dramatic step up in competition. He hasn't fought anybody in the top five in the middleweight division.
Mm-hmm.
Israel Adesanya, what assures me is that Izzy is, when he's right, he's one of the best in the world. And the best of all time. And the combat sports background that Izzy comes from, so that competitive nature, the fact that, like, you know, we're seeing like he's welcoming training sessions and a relationship with Robert Whittaker and Alex Pereira. Like, I think the guy is still motivated and still motivated to see what he can do and what he can become. And I'll combine that with, I just don't think Imabov is as good. And stylistically, it's a good fight for Izzy. I like Izzy on the money line at $1.50.
All right, Adesanya on the money line, minus 150. We've got Adesanya by points, plus 140. Imabov by points, plus 310. Adesanya by knockout, plus 380. Imabov by knockout, plus 600. And Imabov by submission, plus 900.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see Izzy getting knocked out. You know, it took five rounds to stop him, like in the fight against Pereira that first time. And, you know, he got submitted against Dreykus the last time out. So I don't think a submission is happening. So if you're on the Imabov side, maybe he wins via decision. But again, now you're talking about he's going to win a 25-minute kickboxing match against one of the best kickboxers we've ever seen.
Yeah.
No, thank you. So Izzy, money line, straight up.
All right. That is UFC Fight Night Saudi Arabia. So our picks, Hamdi Moneyline, Davis Moneyline minus 140, Oliveira Moneyline plus 140, a little bit of a sprinkle on Venom Page via decision at plus 300, Israel Adesanya Moneyline minus 150, my prop of the night, Hamdi at Moneyline at minus 120. So I'm in agreement with Jordan. We do not have a parlay just yet. We need to build. I mean, we don't have to build one if there's one not there, but
I just don't see one being there. I mean, yeah, because like there's some other like bigger time favorites that, you know, is not going to get us anywhere close. So yeah. Can we just skip?
Don't force it. We can get a parlay going next week with the very top heavy UFC 312 here coming up. I've looked at this card a bunch, and every time I see it, I want to call it UFC 312 because of where we are. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I don't see it like last time, like the last pay-per-view was 311, and the one after this one will be 313. But in my mind, just based on where we are, like, eventually if we get, you know, a couple hundred UFCs and it's UFC, you know, 630, I'll say 630, you know? And when we get to UFC 773, I'll say UFC 773, like it's the area code. It's very, I guarantee you, if you want to make a bet on this, I will mess this up next week and call it UFC 312 at least twice.
$2 on the money line.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. At least twice.
Yeah, this card bothers me. It's very top heavy. Yeah. It's got 13 fights. So.
They're in Australia for this fight. It will be at a normal time here in the United States, despite being in Australia. But this is an Australian fight card here, so a lot of Australians are featured on this fight card, as we usually see when they go to a different country. But yeah, there's two title fights, and that's kind of it.
There's 13 people that don't have a Wikipedia page.
That's all you need to know.
There's 26 fighters, 13 of them, half.
There's two fighters that are going against each other that don't even have pictures on ESPN's website.
It's
they're just the Twitter egg.
It's not. I mean, look, I'm not complaining. There's 11 weeks in a row of fights.
Yeah.
11.
Yeah.
So, but maybe take one off, combine a couple, and don't employ the others.
Exactly. There's too many. Let's knock this down a little bit. All right, he's Jordan Sherwood. Follow him on Twitter at WoodOnESPN1000. Get all of his picks for this UFC Fight Night, not just the ones we gave out. There are more picks coming from Jordan, so make sure you sign up, FatJackSports.com. Get all of his Super Bowl picks as well. Not Jordan's Fat Jack Super Bowl picks. Although you can probably make some picks, too. We can talk about the Super Bowl next week.
We'll talk about it next week.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely. So there's NBA, there's college basketball, the Super Bowl, all at FatJackSports.com. Follow me on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah, and we will be back next week to preview UFC 312 on the Unnamed MMA Podcast. Thanks for listening.